And let's get our Bibles and let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. This is in your Old Testament. And directly after the book of Isaiah, which is after the book of Psalm, not exactly after, but pretty close. Jeremiah, chapter 29, and verse 11. And somebody said amen when you get there. All right. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And here's what I felt for the service here this morning, and was looking at this last night. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Everybody said peace. And not of evil. Everybody said, not of evil. Not of evil. To give you an expected end. Amen. There are some things we can expect when we serve God. Amen. There's an end result to serving God and doing the will of God and walking with God. Amen. And I want to talk about that here this morning. Praise God. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord as we enter into the Word of God this morning. Lord, we thank you for the Word of truth. We thank you for the anointing this morning. And I pray that your anointing would rest upon us. God, that the Word of God would find its mark in every heart, that it would speak to each of us here this morning. We give you honor, praise, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of thanks for his Word this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated this morning. God bless you. Let's just get right into the Word of the Lord. Jeremiah here in the Old Testament was known and is known as the weeping prophet. Israel had forsaken the Lord and had gone the way of sin as a nation, and judgment was about to come upon the nation of Israel, and God spoke to Israel through the prophet Isaiah and through the prophet Jeremiah, and told Israel, the Babylonians are going to come, and they're going to take you away into bondage, and there were prophets that stood up and said, you're going to be able to defeat the Babylonians, fight against the Babylonians, and Jeremiah and Isaiah said, don't try to fight it. This is of God, and it is your punishment for your sins and for worshiping other gods. And so Jeremiah steps onto the scene, and Jeremiah sees all the turmoil and the trouble because God had spoken to him. He was, if you please, a watchman on the wall, and he saw some things that everybody else did not see. I think that there are a few watchmen on the wall, and America is headed down to the same direction that Israel was in here. Much sin in our nation, and what we need is a good dose of repentance in America. Somebody said amen. They had forsaken the right way in a pronouncement of a time of trouble, Jeremiah even gave the number of years. He said, you will be in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and at the end of 70 years, you're going to be allowed to come back into the land of promise, and God is going to bless you. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, we read it this morning. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And the prophecies of judgment did come to pass. We can look at the history of the nation of Israel, and we can see that the Babylonians did come, and those that listened to the false prophets were killed in battle. But those that gave their lives over to the will of God were carried away into Babylon. If you've ever read the book of Daniel, or if you've ever read the book of Ezekiel, those were two young men that were carried away into Babylonian captivity and were there for the 70 years, probably never returned back to their homeland. It was not a good situation that they were facing. It was not pleasant to think about or to examine their beautiful temple, the first temple that they had ever built. Solomon built it, and it was a glorious temple, a beautiful temple. In fact, there were those that said from a distance it looked like a snow-capped mountain because it was all made out of polished limestone. And the Babylonians did come, and they destroyed the temple, and they carried them away into Babylonian captivity. We can see this morning that the Word of God is true, because at the end of 70 years, and in fact, the king that would rise up and make the declaration was foretold, and the prophet said his name will be Cyrus. And Cyrus rose up 70 years after the carrying away into Babylon, and he said, I'm going to let you go back to your land, rebuild your temple, and be blessed by your God. Amen. I'm telling you, the Word of God is always true. Amen. And God does not think thoughts of evil toward His people. God does not think evil toward those that have fallen away. Amen. Because it is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. He is preparing a place for us where the streets are paved with gold and the gates of the city are made out of pearls. That's what God thinks about you and I this morning. Amen. He's not a mean God that's waiting to destroy us. The moment that we fail, because if that were the case, we would all be destroyed, because Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Y'all are looking really good this morning, but the truth of it is we're all sinners here today. And we're here by the grace of God. We're here because God loved us enough to show us the way and to give us a promise. Amen. And that promise is sure. Scripture says that it is yea and amen. That means yes and amen. And Paul said the promises of God are not yes or no. And sometimes we get into situations in life where we question the promises of God, and we question the love of God, and we say, does it really mean what it says here in the Word? Does God really know? Does the Lord really know where I'm at, what I'm going through, what I'm carrying on my shoulder this morning? I want to give you a word of good news today. He knows where you're at. He knows the load that you're carrying this morning, and He wants to lift you up and give you an end that can be expected. Praise God. It's not happen chance. It's not something that might happen and might not happen, but the prophet said, I'm going to give you an expected end. Amen. And what we need to see this morning is the big picture. Praise God. It's what we need to look at, because what we look at mostly is the here and now. What's going on right now? What's going on today? And too often we look at what's going on at the moment and we say, that's the big picture. And that's what's going to happen to me because this is what's happening right now. But I want to show you this morning that that is not true, not when you're serving God. Amen. What's happening right now is not the end of the matter. Amen. It's not over yet. Amen. It's not finished yet. Praise God. But God's thoughts toward His people are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Isn't that a comfort this morning? Praise God. And Sometimes what we see, what seems to be the situation right now is not always, and usually is not reality, reality in God. Because as Spirit-filled people, Holy Ghost-filled people this morning, what we have to practice doing is seeing the invisible things. And Scripture tells us here, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. You can write these scriptures down. I've got a number of scriptures here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And so when we walk by faith and not by sight, we can't look at the present situation and say, this is the way it is. Amen. We are people of hope this morning. And hope is something that is off in the future. Hope is something that we look at. Praise God. Like the prophets of old and the people of faith of old, the Bible said they looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. They couldn't see it right now. They couldn't experience it right now. But they were walking by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 17 and 18. And here is the reality, and I'm not diminishing anyone's problems here this morning, but I want to show you your problems in light of God and the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17, for our light affliction, that's what the Bible calls our troubles, is light afflictions. It's in comparison. Well, let's look at it. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You say, well, it's been going on for a long time. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, a long time on this earth is just a moment when you compare it to eternity. Praise God. He said, it is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Everybody said temporal. That means temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise God. So we have an opportunity this morning in life to look at the temporary or to look at the eternal. And we're here this morning because we're interested in eternity. We're interested in the eternal. Praise God. This life is not all there is to everything. There is an afterlife. And I'm not going to put anybody down this morning, but there are some that think that you're reincarnated and maybe your next life you're going to be a cow or a bug or some other situation, but that's not the case this morning. The truth of it is we are going to stand before God and we are going to step over into eternity. Amen. So we've got to look at God's thoughts, and we can see God's thoughts in the Scripture. John chapter 1 and verse 1 is a parallel to Genesis chapter 1. And if you want to turn there, John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And so the Word was not spoken yet. It was just the Word. Where was the Word? Well, I would say this morning that the Word of God was in the thoughts of God. It was in the mind of God. God thought this out ahead of time. And the Word was there in the beginning. And so the Word, then you look at Genesis chapter 1, and you look at the creation story where God created all things. God created man. He created the woman. He created all the beasts of the field, everything, the stars. They were not created until God said, let there be light. And then God said, let there be cattle. And then God said, let there be a man. And there was a man. The Word of God was in the thoughts of God, but it did not it did not come to reality until the Lord spoke his word. Amen. And there's something powerful in that this morning, because everything that God spoke in the beginning had not come to pass yet, but it was in the works. If we could look at it, I believe it's Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. When everything seemed to be going wrong, Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, and God was getting ready to cast them out of the garden. They were going to have to toil with the sweat of their brow. Everything was seemingly going wrong. The serpent was there in the garden, and it looked like he was having his way. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And what he was literally giving us there is a prophecy of Calvary, a prophecy that at the cross of Calvary, the serpent would be able to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, which is Jesus Christ, and that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And so the word of God had not come to pass yet in that respect. Time and generations passed, and it didn't seem like the word of God was going to come to pass. But in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then you can see in chapter 1 and verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God. And where did the Word become flesh? Well, Scripture tells us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And inside of her was conceived a child. And that child was the Son of God. But he was not just the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Because in verse 14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. It seemed like there was no hope for humanity. If you looked at the present situation, you would say, "Where is God?" Well, God was waiting to speak. Amen. How did he conceive in the womb of Mary? It was not by natural means, but it was by the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God was spoken, and Mary conceived, and that's why the Bible says that Jesus is called the Word of God. Amen. He is the Word of God that is made manifest. Well, somebody ought to help the pastor a little bit here this morning. Amen. And so here we are this morning. Here you are, here I am this morning, and every one of us go through trials and troubles and situations in life. Amen. Many, many times are the troubles of the people in this world, and my, we are headed to some real trouble in our world today. Amen. If you just look a little bit at the news, you would have to throw your hands up and say, "There's no hope for humanity," but there is hope for humanity. And the only place of hope is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. It's the only hope that we have. And Scripture tells us, man that is born of a woman, that's all of us here this morning, a man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Amen. Somebody could help me here this morning. You know that's the truth. It is a few days and full of trouble. Our days pass so quickly. My, here we are the end of April, and it seems like last week we just started April. And in another 4 weeks, we're going to have some special services here, and we're going to have a really good time. Amen. It just seems like things are going by so very, very quickly. And it is so true. The very limited amount of time that we have in this world is but a moment Scripture says, in relationship to eternity. And in fact, it says that there is actually no comparison. There's no comparison between the time that we spend in this world and eternity. And so I look at the troubles that we have, and sometimes, not always, but sometimes it is the enemy of your soul. It is that serpent in the wilderness, that serpent in the garden that hinders, that stands beside the people of God at times. And only when God gives him the liberty to do that. But it is true this morning that God is with us, and his thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace and not thoughts of evil. Praise God. I want you to leave this morning understanding that God has an expected end for you, that God knows the beginning from the ending, and the purpose and the plan of God is true and right. Amen. And it will come to pass. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6, and I want to look at a couple of things here. 2 Kings chapter 6, I chose these stories because it seems like they just fit right with the message here this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6, that's in your Old Testament. And Israel is a picture of the church. It is a picture of the people of God. And Israel was fighting for their survival. They were walking with God, and God was with them. But just because you're walking with God doesn't mean that troubles are not going to come. It doesn't mean that at all. And here is a good example of it. 2 Kings 6 and verse 8, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel." The Syrians were not Israelites, and it seemed like the nations around Israel were always fighting against them and coming against them. We see that in our generation today as well. "And took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place," this is verse 8, "shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And so the king of Syria had his plan. He had his situation room, if you please. And he gathered all of his counselors together, and he said, "We're going to move over here, and we're going to encamp here, and this is the strategy that we're going to use against Israel, because we believe that they're going to be in the close vicinity." But the man of God, the prophet, amen, the man of God that spoke the word of God, he said to the king of Israel, "Don't go there. Don't go to this particular place. You need to go there. You need to go to another place." And so the Bible says in verse 10, "And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice." And so every time the king of Syria tried to do something against the people of God, The Lord spoke the word to the prophet, and the prophet said, "Don't go there." And the king of Syria threw his hands up in frustration. Do you really believe this morning? I do, that there are times that the devil throws his hands up in frustration. We've got to see the love that God has for us. Troubles come, and he tries his best, and he throws his fiery darts. And he gives a swing. He wants to make a punch. But every time it happens, when we're walking with God, I'm telling you what, God has a way of protecting his people. Can you say amen? Amen. He has a way of protecting his people. And so verse 11, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled." He got really agitated by this. "And he said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel. In other words, I've got a spy. I've got someone that's in my inner circle that's passing the word along to Israel, and I'm going to find out who it is. But then in verse 12, one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Amen. That's the God that we serve here this morning. Amen. And this is no credit to me, but it is the work of God. I remember a couple coming to church. This has been many years ago, and they had been sitting around the table, and they had been making some discussion about a particular matter at home. And they came to the house of God, and we ministered the word of God. And they come up to me after the service, and they said, "You're not going to believe this, but you said word for word everything that we talked about at the kitchen table before we came to the house of God." Amen. We get to the place where we get used to that because God is with his people. Come on, somebody. God is with his people. And the thoughts that God has toward us will not just be thoughts, it will be translated into word. Amen. And when the word is spoken, things begin to happen. Great things happen, praise God, when the word of God is spoken. And then it goes on down. And if we look and go down to verse 24, here's Syria again. They're trying it again. Now, I could go into the story here, and maybe I will. Just stay right there where we were for just a few minutes. But he said, the king of Syria said, "All right, we're going to get the prophet. We're going to go catch him, and he won't be able to tell the king of Israel what we're doing." And so he went down. If you go down a few more verses, and in verse 14, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." This was the city of Dothan, where Elisha was staying at the moment. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?'" Oh, yes, we ask that question so many times. How are we going to do? How's it all going to end up? Well, what we need to see here was a little bit of doubt in the mind and the heart of the servant of the man of God. He looked at situations. He looked at the present, the here and the now, and he said, "There's no hope. It's just you and I and this host of soldiers, chariots, everything have surrounded the city," and he was basically throwing up his hands and saying, "I can't do this. We're not going to make it through this situation." But the Bible says in verse 17, you got to see this morning, "And Elijah prayed." That's where we miss it many times. But Elijah prayed, because we don't pray. That's what I meant. "Elijah prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Amen. Guess what happened? Nothing happened. There was no trouble that came to them. They escaped that particular situation because there was an unseen host that was all around the city, an unseen host of angels and chariots of fire. Praise God. I feel the Lord here this morning. Amen. Somebody needs to lift up your head a little bit this morning and understand that God is for us. Amen. And he is for us so much that he went to Calvary and paid the price for our victory. Amen. It's just time to get up and say, Lord, open my eyes that I can see. I want to see what you're doing. I want to know your plan. Amen. Because this present situation doesn't look very good. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 24. Go down to verse 24. I'm just going to give us a couple of examples here this morning. Verse 24, and it came to pass after this. You would think one battle is going to be all there is to it. But after that was over with, then it tells us here, the king of Syria gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And so here we have, the way of our enemy, the enemy of our soul, constantly fights. And you know, there are some enemies that are around us. Can I just talk about that for a moment this morning? There's a few enemies, three that I can think of this morning. And one of them is the devil. He is our enemy, and he will rise up at times. And then the other enemy I'm thinking of is the world. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed, but there is a tremendous anti-Christian atmosphere in our world today. There is much persecution. There is much trouble against the way of the Scriptures. Amen. And it is the way of the world. And the apostles in the New Testament understood this, and they said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. But all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is going to pass away. But in the world there is lust and pride. That's what motivates our world today, is lust and pride. Lust says, I want. And pride says, I deserve. Amen. And that's where we get ourselves into trouble when we turn away from the Lord's way and we go the way of the world. So we have the devil, and then we have the world. And the third enemy that we face today is the one that you looked at in the mirror. If you looked in the mirror, y'all look like you looked in the mirror this morning. Did you look in the mirror, Gavin? All right, praise God. And that's a good thing. But that image that you saw in the mirror this morning, that's your third enemy. Amen. Paul said, and he wrote most of the New Testament, he said, the good that I would, I don't do. And the things that I wouldn't do, I do. The things that I would do, I don't. And then he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Yes, you might fight back the temptation, but all of a sudden the temptation's going to come back out of nowhere. Anybody ever experienced that? I know you have if you're in this flesh. And it's not just your flesh, but it's in your mind. And it is the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, that is at enmity with God, Scripture says. So we have enemies, the devil, the world, and the flesh that we fight against. And in one place in the Scripture, it says we are like sheep without a shepherd. We are like the sheep that are led to the slaughter, or an ox to the slaughter, or we are like sheep among wolves. Sheep can't defend themselves. How are we going to defend ourselves? How are we going to make it through the situation? I really feel like I'm preaching to somebody here this morning that you've looked at your life and you said, I can't do it. You know what? That's a good place to be, where you say, I can't do it, because you stop leaning on your flesh. You stop leaning on others. You stop and thank God for others that will help us and build us up. Amen. But ultimately, there's only one that can help us through the trials and the situations of life, and that is the Lord God that we serve today. Praise God. He's the answer this morning. He is the answer this morning. Praise God. So he rose up again. And there was a great famine in Samaria. So he circled the city of Samaria, and that's how they did it back in those days. I was in Israel in the 80s and went to the top of the hill called Masada, and Masada was the last stronghold of the Jews when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. And it's so high, we took a cable car up to the top, very, very high, probably 1,000 feet or more up to the top. And when we got up there, we could see little squares down on the ground, and those were stone walls that were made. And it was where the garrison of the Romans camped out. And what they would do is they would just camp out until everybody up there starved to death. And they would surrender before they would starve to death. And that's what they did here with the city of Samaria. They circled it and they besieged it. And they probably shot flaming arrows over the wall to try to you know, get burn up the city. But after a while, there was a great famine. Verse 25. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head or a donkey's head, and that was the worst part of the donkey, was sold for 80 pieces of silver. It brought a very handsome price. And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, and there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." Yeah, here the king was in charge. Well, he thought he was in charge, but everything had spun out of control. And all of a sudden, he's walking along the wall trying to assess the situation. What are we going to do? And a woman cries out and she says, "Oh, my lord, the king, help me. I need your help." And he basically threw his hands up and he said, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, 'Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' And so we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, 'Give thy son that we may eat him.' And she hath hid her son. And when it came to pass, the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, 'God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat shall stand on him this day.'" And so there again, the prophet got right in the big middle of all the troubles. Amen. But thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God this morning. Amen. And so they sent for Elisha. He was there in the city. It was bad. Everybody was starving to death. They were eating their own children. They had turned to cannibalism because of the famine. It was so great. It was just really bad. What I said before, the present situation is not necessarily reality. What we have to do is get a word from God. Amen. And the prophet was sitting in his house, and he said, let's go down here and look at it. But Elisha sat in his house, verse 32, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "See how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away my head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is this not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" Before he ever got to Elisha's house, he said, "He's coming. You hold him right there before the door." And Elisha, when he came to the door, chapter 7 and verse 1, listen to this. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel," which was a very cheap price, "and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And here's the voice of negativism and doubt. Verse 2, "Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?' And he said, 'Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof.'" Praise God. Bad situation. "Pastor, I'm in a bad situation this morning. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what's going to happen through this situation. But I'm here to tell somebody this morning, there is a word from God." Amen. I want to give you the thoughts, the Lord says, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Amen. Tomorrow, about this time, there's going to be more than enough for everybody. And a man said, "If God were to open the windows of heaven, how could this be?" But hear me this morning. God specializes in opening the windows of heaven. God owns heaven. Amen. And he can open up the windows of heaven whenever he wants to. Praise God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, he wants to open up the windows of heaven upon your life. Amen. There are blessings at the hand of God. There are good things at the hand of God. Amen. There is joy forevermore at the hand of God and the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And so, so the Bible says, and verse 3, it's the story kind of changes all of a sudden. "And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die?'" Amen. Leprosy was a bad, bad situation. They were banned from the city because they knew it was so contagious. And here they are sitting at the gate of the city, and they said, "You know what? We're not doing very good here. All we're doing is sitting here waiting to die. I'm not willing to just sit here and wait to die. I'm going to get up." Amen. Somebody needs to get up. Praise God. And sometimes you got to get up a lot of times. It's not going to happen just the first time. You got to get up and you've got to do something. Amen. You got to get busy about the work of the Lord and the faith that God has given you. Faith without works is dead faith, Scripture says. But these four lepers, they looked and they said, "Why sit we here?" And then they assessed the situation. And they said, "If we go in the city, there's nothing to eat there. We're going to die in the city. If we sit here, we're going to die. But let's go over here to this camp of the Syrians and let's see if they will give us a little bit to eat. And if we die, we die. We're going to die anyway. And so let's get up off of our seat of self-pity. Amen. Let's get up off of our seat of no faith. Amen. Unbelief. And let's believe that God is going to help us here." Lepers, amen. Didn't use mighty warriors. He used four lepers. And so they rose up in the nighttime and to go to the camp of the Syrians. But what the people didn't know was that the Lord made a tremendous noise to come upon the Syrians. And it scared them so badly that the whole host of the Syrians ran away from their tents. They were so frightened, they ran away, left their tents, they left their provisions, they left everything behind, and took off running. They were so frightened. And so the leper came into the outskirts of the camp and knocked on a tent flap. Amen. I don't know what that sounds like, but he knocked on the tent flap. Hello, is anybody there? And it was dead silence. There was no sound whatsoever in the camp. And he lifted the flap just a little bit, and there was nobody in there. And so they went to another tent, and there was nobody there. And then all of a sudden they got excited, and they started hoarding everything they could get. You can read it when you go home this morning. And after they had hoarded enough for a long time, they said, you know what, we're not doing well here. They were kind of in that situation. We're not doing very well here. We're not going to eat all of this food in a dozen lifetimes. Let's go to the city and let's tell them what's happened. And so they went to the gate of the city where there was famine. And yes, out of the voice, out of the mouth of a leper, the word of the Lord said, come on out of there. There's plenty over here. Everybody come on out. There's plenty. And the man on the wall said, yeah, right. I don't believe you. There's no way that this could ever happen. If God were to open the windows of heaven, might this thing be? And they said, no, really, this is what's happened. Come and save yourself. Come and get all the things that you need for your future. Praise God. And so finally the king said, well, send a man out and let's check out the situation. And so the man went and came back and said, it's exactly as the lepers had said. Praise God. And they opened the gates of the city, and the people flooded out of the city so quickly. They were so hungry and so starving that they ran out of the city. And the man on whose hand the king leaned, who said, if the Lord opens the windows of heaven, this thing could not even happen. He was trampled, and he saw it, but he was trampled by the people that were hoarding out of the gate, and he died in the gate of the city. We've got a choice this morning. You and I have a choice this morning. We can die in the gate out of unbelief. We can sit in the city and die of famine, or we can get up and say, what is God's plan for my life? And it is a plan of peace and not of evil. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You say, well, that's just a story in the Bible. No, that's an example of what God does for those that believe Him. Jeremiah 29 again, and I'm going to finish with this. Praise the Lord. We'll get our musician to come this morning. Jeremiah 29 and verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. You got to listen when it says that. Thus saith the Lord. Because when God speaks, it's truth and it's reality. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you have which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. And that's exactly what we talked about earlier, where there were prophets that came up and diviners that came up, and they said, oh, it's all going to be blessing. It's all going to be victory, and we can live in our sin. We can worship the sun god. We can worship the stars of heaven. We can worship all these other gods, and we're going to be blessed, and everything is going to work out all right. The Lord said, don't listen to those prophets. Listen to the word of the Lord. Amen. Because the prophets prophesy deceit, and they prophesy things that are really not true. He said, you're going to Babylon. There's going to be trouble for 70 years. You're going to Babylon. Don't fight against my plan. yield yourself to my plan. Praise God. And here is where victory comes from. It comes from our patience. Praise the Lord. Our patience. You say, well, I want an answer right now. Well, I'm telling you this morning, Sister Reed, would you come, please? I'm telling you this morning that there are times that we've got to wait. The Bible says, wait on the Lord, and he will lift you up. Scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, there's a time to wait. 70 years was going to pass, and it was going to happen, but there were those that preached a false message of prosperity, and the scripture says that those who say that gain is godliness, it says, withdraw yourself from them. Because gain and godliness don't go together necessarily. You say, well, you don't believe that God blesses. I believe God blesses. Every one of you, myself included, are better off since we gave our life to God than beforehand. That's how it is with me. Praise God. God blesses his people. But there are times, Scripture says, that we must go through fiery trials. And some of them come from the devil. Some of them come through the world. Some of them come from our flesh. There's enemies that we fight. Amen. Some of them just come from life. It's not God. It's not the devil. It's just life. And in life, we have difficulties. We have situations that arise. But I'm here to tell somebody this morning, there's an answer. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the word from God. And when the word comes from God, you can leave the house of God shouting and rejoicing, I've got a word from God. I've got a word from God. Can we stand this morning? Amen. God's thoughts toward you. Have you ever thought God doesn't love me anymore? I'm here to tell you that's a lie. Are you here this morning and you say, I'm not really sure God wants to help me now? I'm here to tell you those are not the thoughts that God has toward you. He has thoughts of peace. He has thoughts of victory. He has thoughts of an overcomer. Amen. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him. Somebody said through him. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What do you mean more than a conqueror? What I simply mean and what the scriptures are saying is that in this world we conquer other people. Dictators conquer other people. We had two world wars because somebody wanted to conquer. Alexander the Great, when he had conquered the then known world, sat down and wept because there was nothing more to conquer. But we are more than conquerors. What does that mean? That means that we conquer ourselves. I'm not out to conquer anybody this morning. I'm not out to get my way or to exert control or to be in charge. No, there's only one that I want to be in charge. It's him. Let's pray together right now. Lord, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the touch of the Holy Ghost that we felt in this place this morning. Lay your hand upon us today. Touch each and every life, each and every heart. I pray this morning, God, that you would move, that the word of God would find its mark, that the word of God would find its mark and speak to us and show us your will for our lives. Help us today. Help us this morning. Let the plan of God be made manifest this morning in someone's life and heart. Praise God. Come on, somebody, help me. Let's pray this morning. Come on, let's lift our voices and let's talk to God this morning. Say, I don't know if God will hear me. God will hear you when you call on Him. Well, I've been too bad of a person. Just call on Him and you'll feel His presence. Yes, in Jesus' name this morning. In Jesus' name this morning. Work your purpose and your will. Work your purpose and your will. We thank you this morning. We thank you this morning.